When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He got it! He's got it! Touchdown! 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 The Jets win it! Touchdown! Wesley Walker with his fourth touchdown reception! The Jets are going berserk! They're bombing Wesley Walker in the end zone!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Wife in. Hey, 405! Rick Monaco here with you on this Tuesday morning. As we get ready for pennant race baseball. It's fun, at least that's what I've heard. Mets Braves tonight, huge series. Starts with Severino, and I think that's the key to this. The Mets pitching has been the key to their recent run, their September run. The offense is what got them off the schneid. The offense is what got them back from 11 games under 500. The offense is what got them back into the conversation. But 3 weeks ago, close to a month ago, I sat here with Sean in the afternoon, and they were four games behind the Atlanta Braves. Four. As we sit here today, they're two games up heading into this series, and that has been done predominantly by this starting staff. That is what led them from that moment to this. And Severino, Peterson, Manaea has got to be better than Scherzer, DeGrom, and Bassett was 2 years ago. It has to be. And I think it starts tonight because I think Met fans should be confident, uber confident. Should be. Look at what this team has done. I just told you, in 3 weeks, they made up six games against an Atlanta Braves team that sure has its injuries and hasn't played particularly well. It's the only way you lose six games in the standings in 3 weeks or a month. But an Atlanta Braves organization that has owned this division, an Atlanta Braves organization that has a pedigree, even with the injuries to Acuna, even with some of the injuries, of bouncing back and, hell, winning a World Series damaged with injury. But all of that goes out the window if they don't win tonight. Suddenly, as much as we could say, hey, you know what? Arizona lost last night. They're a half a game up on Arizona now, and they're tied. They have the tiebreaker with Arizona, so even all you have to do is finish tie with them, and they lost last night. And, hey, all you need is one game. Let's not get crazy. You know how you will feel. And I wonder how this Met team will feel if they lose tonight. And especially if Severino, who, let's just be fair, even as a Yankee fan, loves Severino. You know, obviously left last year with a bad taste in our mouths from Severino. He was awful in his last season as a Yankee. For the most part, when I think of Severino on the mound, I think of a dominant starting pitcher. But I also have to admit, I think of the 2017 wildcard game where he got one out and gave up three runs and couldn't get out of the first inning. I think of the 2018 playoffs against the Red Sox when he didn't know what time the game started and didn't pitch particularly well. I think of last 2022 coming out of the bullpen in the wildcard game in 21, not pitching well against the Red Sox or pitching, kind of having an average so-so start against the Houston Astros in 22. He's got to be the guy he's been for the Mets all year. He has got to set the tone for the series. They have the pitching matchup in the series before they face Sale, the presumptive Cy Young Award winner, before they face Fried in the third game of the series, which they'll have Manaea on the mound, which is a real comfort and feeling the way he's been pitching. But I think tonight is the game. You could argue that Severino was brought here to be traded. I think that's fair. But he was also brought here because you knew of the upside of Luis Severino and you knew the bulldog he can be. And you knew that you were taking a chance on what could be a cheap way to get an ace of a staff. And that's what you've gotten for a lot of this year. And it has to continue tonight. The Mets can't lose this series. And I think, obviously, stating the obvious, to lose the first one would put a real scare into the fan base and put a a little bit of a nervous energy into this Met team that has, without question, bounced back, right? Make no qualms about it. I'm not saying anything other than that. And I expect Severino to pitch well, but he has to. And as much as there has been the resilient word thrown around, and if any team's ever earned it, this team has. And that's part of the reason you feel confident. And as I think the cut yesterday from Pete Alonso, like, yeah, we talk about OMG, we talk about Grimace, but I would say resilient. And he's not wrong. Every heartbreaking loss has been followed with a stretch of good baseball. Every single time there has been a down, immediately there has been an up. So it's difficult for me to even think that, hey, one loss could really sink this team. And I don't think it will sink them, but this is a lot of the same players who were here 2 years ago. And in as many ways, it's a different team and the rotation's completely different. Alonso was still here. Lindor was still here. Hopefully Lindor even plays in this series. But it was only 2 years ago that they headed in leading the division the entire season and couldn't get out of Atlanta with a victory. This is a big series and a huge game one for Severino tonight. 888-808-1019. Let's get to your calls. On to Charlie in Bayside. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, good morning, Chris. First time caller.
Oh, well,
I had to get through.
You had to. You would, and you were beating something. Everybody over the stick to try and make it through the lines. I know. Thank you very much.
Actually, I've been the first one since 10 minutes ago. Anyway, I'm confident the Mets are going to take care of business. We got the ace in the hole, Louis Angel, Acuna. That's your ace in the hole? Right there. He's going to have a huge series.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ever watch the Met pitchers in the dugout,
yep.
They are together talking strategy, talking batters. They got this, man. Severino,
yeah,
if he only goes four, we have the bullpen to come through for him. All right? Each
yep.
guy, a bullpen game, if it has to be, it has to be. And if Alonso gets hot, forget it. If he gets even a little hotter. And then I got a question. What are we going to do with McNeil next season or this season even? Is he hurt? He's still hurt, right?
Yeah, well, he's out for the year with a broken wrist or whatever it is. Yes.
This kid Acuna is awesome, man.
Yeah.
I was at the game Saturday, and, man, the feel you got at my first game in 8 years, and I'm so glad I went, even though the crowd was a little too loud for me in person.
Okay.
And I've been a Mets fan since 65, so I've been through the bad, you know, a lot of bad. But I'm not one of those doubters anymore. This is like, my brother even said, Chuck, I'm not ready to say they got, I don't want jinx. It's not a jinx, Mike. When you see what you see it. It's a duck. You know?
Yeah, I mean, well, listen, that's, and you should feel, you should be this confident. You should. Met fans, you should be this confident. You should have confidence in this staff. You should have confidence in this team. And yeah, listen, Pete Alonso, this is the time. He had a couple moments here. He's not stayed hot. He had, a couple big strikeouts the other day. He has not continued the success of that big night against Washington. He just hasn't. He needs to come through in this series. Someone has to. And whether it's Acuna, obviously, I would think you try and work him into the lineup, even if Lindor's back. I have a hard time believing that. I got to see Lindor play before I think he will. So, but right now, they've won, what, 6 of 7 without him. They've done a remarkable job. They just won 3 out of 4 without him. So, absolutely. And the bullpen, Reed Garrett's worked his way back into a role of confidence. Obviously, Diaz has been much better since he blew the game against Arizona a few weeks ago, giving you four outs, 6 outs. He's done a really great job. And you know, with kind of weapon Buto, who really has slumped a little bit over the last month or so, but gave you a dominant performance with 3 strikeouts his last time out on the mound. Like, you feel good right now about this bullpen. You feel good right now about the starting pitching. And even the lineup, you feel good about it. It's been a little inconsistent, and it's been kind of a feast or famine. They had the 3 straight games of 10 runs or more, first time in their history. But they've done this on pitching, and that's why I think Severino in this game is so important, because I don't know if I trust the offense to completely break out and score a ton of runs. They need to pitch. That's what they've done for the last month. That's why they're here in this position. Because they have just been unbelievable on the mound. And I don't want to see, and especially because of last year, just 2 years ago, and I know it's a different team with a different general manager and a different manager and in a completely different staff, but you went in with the strength of your team 2 years ago being the pitching. You're going into this series with the strength of your team being the pitching. You went in with a veteran ace starting pitcher in Scherzer. You're going in with a veteran ace starting pitcher in Luis Severino. That was how you were built. This is how you have been winning. And if it starts to feel like that, I just wonder how the fans will react. I wonder how the team will react. And in every time that I've wondered that, they have given a resounding, excellent response. And they'll have to do it one more time. But hopefully Severino pitches well tonight and the Mets go out there and take game one of the series. And as far as Jeff McNeil, yeah, I mean, listen, not only, you know, Mauricio, who was dealing with his own injury, got hurt at the beginning of the year. I mean, he's a guy you'd want to give a chance to. You've got, obviously, what you're seeing from Luis Angel Acuña. I don't know if Jeff McNeil has a future with this team. I mean, he had one hot stretch. And honestly, I feel like they're better now with Iglesias. I do. I feel like that injury solidified the roster. I feel like that injury crystallized the roster. And I think Iglesias has been so freaking good in it. I mean, can't get him out in a big spot. It's amazing. It's part of the charm. It's part of the magic this team has. Tyler O'Neill going off. Iglesias, you can't get out. These are middling, you know, rotation pieces. These are guys who've had trouble sticking in one spot, and yet they here with the Mets, they've been incredible. Whether it's even just defensively as well as offensively, like it's there's so many different elements of this team that have been surprising and hard to explain, and part of this magical run that they're on, and it can't end in Atlanta. Like 2 years ago did, like so many seasons have. It's got to be different this year. Pat in the Bronx. What's up, Pat?
Good morning, Christopher. Good nice to hear your voice.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, guy.
Yes.
I like that song.
Yeah, so do I. I play it every day at 4 o'clock.
You're a Beatles fan. I know that's what
I am. I am a big Beatles fan. That is true.
And I know that you question that Lennon was more Beatle than McCartney was.
I don't know about
Lennon was more representing.
I don't know about more Beatle than I prefer McCartney to Lennon, but Lennon's obviously, you know, incredibly great. I love John Lennon. I just happen to be a McCartney guy.
Longevity also. It's like compiling.
Well,
like a,
something did happen to hinder John's ability to have longevity, to be fair.
That's true. But it also reminds me of Mets and Yankee fans. I mean, I don't mind a Yankee fan coming out and being and calling themselves a diehard and saying they bleed pinstripes. But can you please name 10 players on the current team if you're going to make that statement? You know, I get annoyed at Yankee fans, not the Yankee team. Uh-huh. I respect the Yankee team. But the fans, when they see their fans, and they don't even know who's on the team. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I would think you could probably find that in all walks of life. I'm sure, I don't think you should be an elitist. I'm sure there are Met fans right now who will suddenly be like, oh, big series, or the playoffs, and you know, they'll be showing up at bars and places with hats on. Oh, yeah, no, I like them. I love the Mets, yeah. And they could tell you Pete Alonso and Francisco Lindor, and that's it. I get it. That's part of it. The bandwagon guys who always come out this time of year, that's part of it. I guess the Yankees probably have more than most, or the Cowboys probably have more than most. I think right now the Kansas City Chiefs probably have more than most. Like, that's how it goes. Eddie in Rockland. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, Chris, what's happening, man? You know, talking about McCartney, did you see this little documentary coming out on his wings experience?
Yeah, it's one hand clapping. It's going to be released in some theaters. I don't know if it's a documentary, quote-unquote. It kind of is. But it's them rehearsing for, I think, getting ready to go on tour and some of the different stuff. I've heard
a
lot of the stuff. I've seen a lot of the clips.
Chris.
Yeah, I guess that. But it's not like a real documentary. It's sort of them just rehearsing songs.
You don't give Wings any credit. You don't like Wings?
I love, what do you mean I don't give Wings any credit? What are you, nuts? I love Wings. I don't think the audience is as big a Wings fan as Beatles fans, and I think I'm probably pushing and talking as much Beatles as I do. You want to get into Wings? What's your favorite Wings album?
Oh, I don't have favorite albums, but I got favorite songs.
I have favorite albums. I have favorite albums, favorite songs,
if
favorite
you grew
renditions
up
of the Wings.
In the 70s, Wings was a part of your life.
Absolutely, because Paul McCartney is a melody maker. He's even if you don't like the song, you're humming it 2 days later. That's the gift of Paul McCartney.
Okay, I want to get on a couple scenarios.
Sure.
If we can. First of all, this I saw this commercial for Power of the Ring. Is that worth watching? It's already
no.
the second season
I mean,
in.
Yeah, I mean, if you like Lord of the Rings stuff and you want to give it a try, you got nothing else to watch. It's not very good. I'm struggling getting through it. I can't muster the enthusiasm to put it on.
Yeah, because that's the first time. I didn't even know it was in second season.
I watched the first season. It was okay. The first episode of the second season was okay. It's all just okay. And I've got enough going on in my life where I have other things going on. I watch so much sports that with the TV I do watch is kind of with my wife, and I haven't really mustered the enthusiasm to be like, hey, honey, let's watch this. It's really good. So I haven't really watched it.
All right. During the draft,
yes.
you would agree that you were about, when you were talking about the quarterbacks, 90% about Drake May, right?
Because I knew that was the only quarterback they had a chance at getting. I would have been just as much on Jaden Daniels, but I thought he was locked into two, and Washington wasn't going to move him. So I was all on May because I thought it was a possibility.
Right. Any comments on May right now?
No, he hasn't played.
Because he can't play.
No, because that was the plan of the Patriots heading in. And in fact, he played well enough in the preseason games that many people thought that the Patriots might abandon their plans to start Brissett and go with May. I don't know if he can play or not. I'm just telling you, it's not that he was so bad. It came down to a last-minute decision between the two quarterbacks because May played well in the preseason.
Yeah, I know, but it just seemed like you were May, and all of a sudden you're talking about...
I was May, just like Justin Timberlake. It's going to be May... I liked him. I still do, and I don't know if he can play or not. I wanted a young quarterback. Did you see what Jaden Daniels did? And yes, we also saw what Trevor Lawrence can do. When you pick either the wrong guy or you tank for a guy and you get him and you pay him and he's still losing games 8 in a row and they're awful and get overrun by the Buffalo Bills, who look like the best team in football, and I can't wait for a couple weeks when it's Giants-Bills battling for the AFC East. But did you see Jaden Daniels? Did you see him play last night? Would the Giants not be in better standing right now if they had a young rookie quarterback who looked like that as opposed to Daniel Jones and paying him $40 million? And Daniel Jones has played well the last 2 weeks. And Daniel Jones has had moments in his career where he's taken the Giants to the playoffs and played relatively well. And he obviously was phenomenal in the playoff game against Minnesota. And he's played well the last 2 weeks. But you saw the ceiling and the capability. When is the last time Daniel Jones, and don't tell me McLaurin. I understand right now we're going to see the dynamic between him and Neighbors hopefully develops and blossoms. But when is the last time you saw Daniel Jones about to get laid out and throw up a beautiful deep ball and landed right in the bucket to his receiver to polish off a victory against a team like the Cincinnati Bengals? When's the last time we saw that? And don't tell me the Redskins the Commanders are any great shakes. They've been terrible forever. Like, did you see the way he played, the fourth down conversions? Like, that's a guy who might elevate an entire franchise. Daniel Jones can be a serviceable quarterback. And now if he has Malik Nabers, an all-world wide receiver, and I think we've seen now that that's probably the one thing he's been lacking more than others. Like, the run game and a great dynamic running back didn't do for him what Neighbors has done. I'm not even sure a great offensive line would do for him what Neighbors has done. The ability to just be able to trust someone, not have to think, throw a ball that you know is a 50-50 ball that he'll make the play on or it'll be incomplete, not have to go through all the progressions. Like, that has helped him as much as anything else has ever helped him. But I still believe that the Giants did themselves a disservice winning meaningless games against the Green Bay Packers, against the Philadelphia Eagles the last game of the year, against Bill Belichick and the Patriots, because if they were the second pick in the draft and had Jaden Daniels right now, the Giants would be in a far better place in their franchise than they are right now. That's what I believe. And if you pick the wrong one, which in some ways the Giants did with Daniel Jones, or maybe the Jacksonville Jaguars have done with Trevor Lawrence. The main problem was that they paid him a year early when they didn't have to. And now they're locked into the contract, which is my biggest issue with Daniel Jones. Not that Daniel Jones can't throw the football or that he's awful or that he should be ranked the worst quarterback in the NFL. Never said that, other than outside of week one when he played like the worst quarterback in the NFL. But I picked him to bounce back and beat Washington. And I picked him again to beat the Browns, even though I said I wouldn't do it again. We'll see what happens for Thursday. Not sure I'll pick him again. But, yeah, I'm all about May. I was all about May. I was trying to buy the hype on J.J. McCarthy, who we don't know about, got hurt, but looked pretty damn good in his brief playing in the preseason. And May looked very good in his brief play in the preseason. They might both be terrible. I have no idea. But what I do know is if you're right, like they are in Washington, it transforms your entire franchise. If you're right, like they are in Houston, it transforms your whole franchise. If you're right about Neighbors, he can help your young quarterback, but Justin Jefferson isn't changing the fate of the Minnesota Vikings. Andrew Thomas certainly hasn't changed the fate of the New York Giants. Dexter Lawrence certainly hasn't changed the fate of the New York Giants. Sauce Gardner certainly hasn't changed the fate of the New York Jets. You can be right on a corner. You can be right on a D-tackle. You can be right on an edge rusher. You can be right on a bunch of things. It won't change your franchise like being right on the quarterback. And I'd rather take that chance. So, yeah, I wanted May. I wanted Daniels. I wanted everybody. And now we're with Daniel Jones. He's played well 2 weeks, and we'll see where he can take us. And right now, with the Cowboys floundering, I mean, the Eagles are going to be the Eagles. They bounce back for a victory. Washington looks like they could, within a few weeks, have the best quarterback in the division. And the Cowboys are licking their wounds, coming to a building they've had uber success in over the last handful of years. And we'll see how the game goes. 888-808-1019. Come back and take your phone calls all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show right here on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Manning calling signal, takes the snap, looks left, pops it left, first is wide open, touchdown Giants, in the left corner of the end zone.
Touchdown.
With 35 seconds to go, the Giants regain the lead.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Song to come out with. Yeah. Little Rolling Stone. Yeah, we'll come out with my favorite Wing song. All right, 888-808-1019. So a couple things happened in this game last night, I guess. One, Ryan Clark of ESPN wore an all-orange suit that I have to admit, when I first saw it, I was like, it like jumped out at me. Like, it was hard to like look at him. But then the more I did, he pulled it off. And I got to be honest with you. Orange and black was my high school colors, dating back to, you know, when I was athlete of the year, H-Man Carey High School, 2001. MVP of the football team. Playing defensive line. Who does that? Offensive line? Come on. That's how good I was. I'm just kidding. But I do like the black and orange. And I was like, it was, I didn't see what he wore. What did he wear last week?
Last week it was like one of those like
like a priest, like what a priest would wear, like the black with the white.
Oh, with the white collar? Like
double breasted.
Yeah, because this one was the same thing, no tie, very tight collared shirt.
So it was a similar thing, just black with like a white collar.
Yeah, and then he had like a pin that looked like a football helmet. It was interesting, the look today, but I actually thought he pulled it off. I like the orange and black look. And then I guess there was I did see a little bit, a sign in the stands of a woman who, listen, Josh Allen right now, he can take on the world. He's the league MVP at the moment. They look like one of, if not the most dominant team in football. I know their opponents haven't been all that great, but I mean, they're just running all over them. And he's playing outstanding. And there was a woman in the stands with a sign that said, recently married, or I would, hey, Josh, I would leave my husband for you, and he's sitting right next to me. Like, can you imagine being that guy? Like, I understand you leave the stadium, you know she has the sign, you're up for a laugh, you're a funny guy. And then you realize, no, but I'm the guy on TV that everyone is pointing to and laughing at. Like, it seems like a funny idea until you're in the building, until you're being talked about at 4:35 in the morning. Then you're like, maybe this wasn't so smart, honey. Maybe this wasn't so cute, so funny. I guess that's a big thing. I mean, I can't imagine sitting next to that sign. I know you wear the I'm with stupid, or like you see all the different stuff, and it's funny, and you probably thought it was a good idea in the moment. Then when nobody else really either gets the joke or you're the joke, that's tough to be the national joke when you went to a football game. You're just trying to have a good night.
And she has the picture that's of probably her and Josh Allen photoshopped together on the sign with the heart around them.
Oh, my God. 888-808-1019. It's one of those things where it seems like a fun idea and you'll go along with it. And, hey, maybe it's your wife drags you, pays for the tickets or something. Like, she's like, this is how you get to go to the game. Oh, you could have this sign. It'll be funny. Then you get made fun of on a national front. That's pretty rough. All right, let's go to Danny in Belrose. What's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris. What's going on?
What's up?
All right. So I'm looking at the matchup tonight for the Yankees. You got Kramer versus Clark Smith. Do like their chances. Clark Smith's got a better ERA, and I'm looking at both of the lineup, potential lineups for both teams. It looks like the Yankees have a bad chance. They have better numbers against Kramer compared to, the Orioles.
You're looking too much into it. The Yankees are the better team. The Yankees are playing better. The Orioles have been absolutely trash for the last month. The Yankees need to go out there and win this game and end this thing. Like, that's it. And honestly, unfortunately, Danny, the Orioles have not made this a series of any real major interest. It's a matter of time. Even the Yankees at this point could get swept in this series. Now, you don't want to do that because you want to be the one seed, but they're going to beat the Pittsburgh Pirates one game. Like, they're up six games with six games to play. Like, unfortunately, they've kind of taken the juice out of this series. I wish that we were talking about both of these teams, big games. It's just not. The Mets are in a big game. The Yankees are just waiting to clinch the division. And these are important games because I agree. I want to be the one seed. I want to beat Cleveland for the one seed, and I want to avoid the Astros until the ALCS, if the Yankees even get there, or if the Astros even get there. But I'd rather, if I view them as the best competition for the Yankees, and because of the two left-handed starters at the top of the rotation, I'd rather see them in a seven-game series than with the days off. You could theoretically see both of those guys twice in a five-game set, and the Yankees don't hit Kikuchi, so I want it just for that. And it's not even just home field advantage, because the Yankees have been far better on the road this year. Far better on the road. So it's just avoiding the Astros until the ALCS. But I still want it. But ultimately, the Yankees, it's about playing good. It's about going hot into the playoffs. It's not even about beating the Orioles anymore. That's over. They're going to win the division. The division's over. The Orioles have completely given it to them. Now, that's not fair, because the Yankees went 5-1 on a West Coast trip. They've taken it in many ways, but the Orioles have fallen apart. Maureen Belmore, tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro.
I'm a quietly confident, but I just want to stay focused. I want to see Dominguez light it up right before he gets in there. That's number one.
Let's hope so.
Number two. I don't know what Evan was saying about something. You had a situation or something with your son around sports, so maybe you could tell us that, but don't do it now.
Oh, Evan was talking on the air about this?
He said something that you mentioned something that you had a conversation with one of your boys around sports. Yeah. I don't know what it was. I just checked it yesterday, and I don't know what it was, so maybe you could tell me what that was. I would use the evidence. I would use last night's photo of me sitting next to her telling me that she wants to marry the quarterback as evidence during my divorce hearing. Absolutely.
That's true. Not a bad idea.
And then the last point, this is the most important point I wanted to get out today. Last night, you saw what a number one pick and a quarterback can do to your franchise and build the foundation of the future. We do not have that. We have not had that in the Giants. And it kills me to say that I don't even know if we have the right coach right now. But all I know is what we saw last night. It was a perfect example. I'm so jealous of Al, who loves the Commanders or whatever the name of that stupid team is these days. But they got a quarterback of the future, and I'm jealous.
Sure.
And it makes me sick to my stomach. But what am I going to do?
Well, I don't know about it. I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's been one game. I do think he's going to be really good. I do. And right now, they're instilled with a hope that the Giant fan doesn't really have of what it could be. But you got to see more of it, no doubt. But yeah, that's how I felt. The minute Daniel Jones goes down, there's no point in winning games. Last year. Like, that's just how I feel. And it'll get to a point this year where it makes no sense to win games. Like, change the rules. Change the rules. Instill a lottery. Change the rules where the teams don't directly benefit from losing football games. Once you're out of it, you benefit from losing games. And the Giants would have been better served losing games and getting one of those quarterbacks. I firmly believe it. Now, hopefully Daniel Jones can continue to progress and play well. And if he does and leads them into the playoffs and plays great and continues to do this, and him and Malik Nabers build a chemistry here and they actually do something and play good offensive football and look, you know, I still want to see better, but look like they did at least last week, then we'll move forward with them, because I don't know what else you do at the quarterback position if they're not drafting at the top of the draft. I mean, I suppose you move forward with them, but even then, like, I don't view Daniel Jones as a win 12, 13 games a year stud quarterback that takes you to the Super Bowl. I don't. And it's been long enough where I still think we're probably going to see a bunch of days that look like week one, or at least close to week one. It can't be that bad. That was bad. That's coming off injury, rust, a bunch of different reasons, but it was particularly awful. I don't know if we'll see that again, but I expect Daniel Jones to be what he's been. A couple good games here, although this is now two consecutive games of two touchdown passes, which is unheard of for him. So he's been, you know, better than normal, and hopefully that's what Malik Nabers can bring him. And we'll see what this team is. Good win. Great win last week. A good offensive performance against Washington. Even though it came in a loss, but I'm worried about Thursday. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Brett in Long Island about the subject. What's up, Brett?
Yeah, Jaden Daniels, so great. The quarterback that Daniel Jones outplayed last week, and he didn't score an offensive touchdown. He had to kick field goals every time. Let's talk about how great he is.
Yeah.
Chris, I'm winning in my 10 social media groups. I'm winning with the two friends that blocked me that I don't have blocked. And best of all, I'm winning with you. This is the
sure
best feeling
are.
I've had since last week when you said the Giants should use a punter to kick field goals. That was the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life.
I didn't say that.
But, yeah, you did. You're like, I don't know. Why can't a punter kick a field goal? Chris, please.
As an emergency, if your kicker goes down, we've seen it twice in the last 2 years.
You saw the long kicker couldn't do it, but let's have the punter do it. Yeah, okay, Chris. But, Chris,
you got me.
We should be 2-1. Stop with the how many games that Daniel Jones can win. Okay? Yep. If the coach can do his job and they don't fumble the ball every game, you know, we had the big drop week
they
one.
Not, I mean, when they, I make they had jokes an opportunity to be 2-1.
When they miss a field goal, I write, oh, that's Daniel Jones' fault. When Singletary fumbles the ball right away in the groups, that's Daniel Jones' fault. Yeah. Everything's Daniel Jones' fault now. That's the joke, Chris.
Hilarious.
That's the joke. And you know what I love?
Yeah.
When if the Giants win Thursday night over Dallas, you're going to Chris McDonald's is going to crawl back in his hole.
Chris McDonald's.
And say, "Oh, I never said he wasn't that bad. I never said he wasn't that bad.
I own everything I say about Daniel Jones.
And he's young. He's 27. He's not old, Chris. He's 27. I want a young quarterback.
He's
young.
He's just not very good. And it's already year six. And he's
okay.
Not
very good. How's Trevor Lawrence look?
Trevor Lawrence looks
terrible. You talked about getting $15 million more than him. Herbert hurt again, not playing. How's Deshaun Watson looking?
$40 million
is a joke. Nothing compared to those guys.
Well, that's a terrible contract. Yeah, but Deshaun Watson was a top five quarterback for a handful of years. Lawrence had the team the number one seed halfway through the season. Yeah, a handful of years, Deshaun Watson was the top five quarterback in the NFL.
One good year. Look it up.
Oh, stop.
He was top five. One year. I looked it up.
Okay. Yeah, one year.
Make sure you look it up.
I'll make sure to look it up.
Daniel Jones, divisional round. And you laugh at that in four years.
Yeah.
Because he only played
I don't laugh
for four
at it.
Years.
Daniel Jones has consistently been inconsistent and injury prone. And I've defended him when you've heard me when they talk about the list. He's the 30th best quarterback in the league. Absolutely, I do. Don't tell me I don't.
You talk about tanking.
When I talk about. Wait a second, Brett. Wait a second.
You talk about tanking.
Yeah, absolutely. I wish they had a different quarterback. No doubt about it.
Who talks about tanking?
Everybody who's smart.
I'm running two. What's
everybody
wrong
who's
with you?
Smart. Oh, not right now. I'm not talking about tanking. I said that. I wanted to win against Cleveland.
You just said it before.
Last year, once the season was dead.
Okay.
Once the season was dead. And then once Daniel Jones went down, you still wanted to win games with DeVito. You wanted to beat the Patriots.
They should have been 2-1 right now.
They should be. Totally agree. They should have won that game. How'd they lose it? I'm not blaming Dan Jones for the loss, but they're the Giants. They find ways to lose because the punter couldn't kick field goals. That's part of it, too. Daniel Jones has played well the last 2 weeks. When did I say different? And I have defended Daniel Jones against some of the craziness that's been out there about him, that he's the worst, that they had Drake May rated over him. He's never thrown a pass in the NFL. How could you possibly say that? Daniel Jones has won a road playoff game. I have defended the nonsense when the list comes out of his rankings on Madden, and he's the 35th ranked quarterback in the NFL. I've defended him against some of the craziness. I have. He's not good enough to be good. That's the problem. He's good enough to be mediocre. He's good enough to lead the Giants where he might lead them this year, where you're hoping he leads them to 8 or 9 wins and sneaking into the playoffs and maybe beating an overrated team. Great. Great. That's the ceiling for the next 10 years. Great. And I don't think they're going to win on Thursday. I hope I'm wrong. I don't think they're going to win on Thursday. I don't. But I hope I'm wrong about Daniel Jones. I don't know what you tell me. I'm glad you're winning in your 11 online media groups. I'm glad that your social media groups. I'm glad you're winning there. I'm glad you feel like you're winning. I'm glad after a fumble that instead of being frustrated as a Giant fan, your first initial thought is to make a Daniel Jones joke with your 11 social media groups and the two friends who no longer talk to you. I'm glad that you feel that is some sort of vindication. That everyone you associate with doesn't like you and you got one up on them every time the Giants do something bad that's not Daniel Jones. I'm glad that's where you hang your hat at night. But what I'm telling you is watch these quarterbacks are there bad ones? Sure, of course. There are tons of bad draft picks. Look at the best quarterbacks in the league right now, though. Where do you think you get them from? Who's being like Sam Darnold, right? Having a great year. Where was he drafted? Baker Mayfield, where was he drafted? Josh Allen, where was he drafted? And Daniel Jones is not the main focus right now. He's played relatively well, and I'm hoping that him and Malik Nabers can actually, figure something out and build a dynamic together. Because I literally called it the Giants' new identity yesterday. That hopefully that's their identity. We question what the identity would be. Hopefully that can be the identity. But with Daniel Jones, is that a winning identity? Is that a Super Bowl identity? I'm still pretty sure it's not. But I'll leave some space open to be wrong because I want to be wrong. 888-808-1019. But yeah, why is it preposterous to think a punter could be the backup field goal kicker? Why is that ridiculous to think a guy who kicks a football for a living could be the backup guy who kicks a football for a living? And just for extra points. Like, I'm not saying sending him out there to win a game on a 58-yard field goal. You have this tendency of, like, Brett has this thing, he's very good at it, where he'll take a point, you said, and act like it's the dumbest thing ever without really giving any counterpoints to it or anything other than that. He just, that was the dumbest thing I ever heard. Like he's the person of record on such topics that he's, he knows absolutely nothing about anything, but he'll send out a point, and people are very good at this, getting under your skin. He's a world-class get-under-your-skin type guy. He's world-class at it. He talks over you, and then he'll take a point that you have and just categorically say, it's the dumbest thing I ever heard, and say it with such condemnation, like perfectly, with a perfect tone, that he gets you. He's very good at it. He's world class. It's quite the skill. 4:15, Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan. We'll be right back.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Oh, I forgot to give you a wing song. Oh, this is not a bad one. Hi, hi, hi. This was banned on the radio. You better be careful. In the 70s. They couldn't play the song. Anyway, you know, I'm sure there's many Bretts out there who defend Daniel Jones and like Daniel Jones and all that stuff, and that's fine. I'm not trying to kill Daniel Jones. He's the Giants quarterback, and he played well the last 2 weeks. But did you not see last night's game? Like, did you not see what Jaden Daniels did in that game and how he played? That throw to end the game, when is the last time we saw Daniel Jones make that throw? Like, honestly, rack your brain. When is the last time you saw Daniel Jones make that play? Play like he played last night. You could argue he outplayed him a week ago, but look at what he did last night. Look at what his ceiling is. Would you rather be the Giants with Daniel Jones? Or do you think Washington has a better opportunity to become a great team in this league? If you had to buy stock in one of the two franchises right now, you buying the Giants with Daniel Jones, already paid, or this young quarterback on a rookie contract for the next 4 years? Whose stock you buying? Defense isn't better. Coach isn't better. At least I don't think so. Dan Quinn, hell of a defensive coordinator, I guess, for the time. Was a miserable head coach with Atlanta. I mean, could they blow more leads? That was very Chandler Bing of me. Could you blow any more leads? I mean, what else is better? And yet I would run to buy stock in Washington right now. Run to buy stock in Houston right now. Young quarterback, inexpensive, rookie contract, playing like that last night. Daniel Jones has never played like that, ever. Real quick, Robert in Manhattan. What's up, Robert?
Good morning, C-Mac.
Good morning, sir. What's up?
How are you? I hope things are well in C-Macville these days.
Everything is great. Everything is great in McDonald's.
Okay, unconfuse me about the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to Atlanta for 3 games.
Yes.
I thought the hurricane hadn't even gotten to Florida yet. You're telling me it's going to be in Atlanta Wednesday?
They're saying rain ahead of it, and then possibly Thursday, Friday, Saturday, where this tropical cyclone could become a hurricane, yeah.
Now, here's a question from Atlanta. Aren't the Mets supposed to play the last 3 games in Milwaukee against the Brewers?
Yes.
So what would happen to, say, Wednesday and Thursday?
I'm sorry to up against it. I want to get another call in real quick. But I don't know what would happen. That's the whole point.
Thursday, Friday,
Pat
Saturday.
Pat in Central, what's up, Pat? Radio bad. Bernadette in Oceanside, radio bad. I heard my voice on the phone call. That's what I meant to say. Bernadette, what's going on?
How are you? Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I wanted to talk to you about the Yankees and
Good,
how well they're doing, and I can't wait for them to clinch and I'm so happy we have relatives to baseball.
And thank you so much for the call, Bernadette. It is so wonderful to be able to talk about the football teams, at least the Giants for a little bit, and both baseball teams in the postseason, and to have two relatively big games. The Met game is obviously huge. And yeah, the rain situation is funky. Who knows what's going to happen? The Mets might still have to play this game even if it's rained out and they win, because Atlanta might need the game if Arizona continues to lose. Like, you could see the Mets having to play the last game of the year in Atlanta in a meaningless game for them, only to have to fly to San Diego for the next day's wild card. It's crazy. But we got baseball tonight. Mets, Braves, let's go Mets. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 2 a.m. We'll break it down right here on The Fan. I'm out of here.
Sports Radio 101.